Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. That's all right.
That's why you can say, this morning when I rose.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. No doubt. Amen. Amen. Ain't God all right?
Yes, he is.
All the time.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. We're in the midst of a fabulous celebration.
Yes, we are.
Amen.
Yes, we are.
Nobody mad but the devil. Amen. He need to get over it. Amen. 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 We thank the good Lord for all that we have heard thus far.
Yes.
I want to give a special word of thanks to our musicians who are in the house. Amen. Amen, amen. We appreciate all their help. We have a couple of other young visitors who are here today. We also have Brother Ryan's son, Nathaniel, over there.
Amen.
And we have my super London here, along with Janelle and a few other folks here. Want to give a shout out. There she go, all right now. Amen, amen. Amen. We thank the good Lord for everyone who is here. Amen.
Yes, we do.
It is a blessing once again to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to go right ahead. We have a good word from the Lord here today, and we're going to call your attention to a text as we continue in our study in Paul's letter to the Romans. And this is one in which we learn to apply some of the provisions being provided to us as we begin to seriously devote ourselves to walking in the power demonstrated by the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ when he came to give himself and present himself as a total sacrifice to God. And that's a very, very powerful thing that we see in the first advent of Christ. Nothing has ever been done like that by a human being before, nor ever will again.
That's right. Amen.
This was the most spectacular event that could be done by any human being at any time in the history of time, and it will never, ever be surpassed.
Never.
Amen. Everything else pales by comparison.
That's right. Yeah. Amen.
What we went through and what we're going through, and even, you know, as we look at all the suffering that goes on in the world, nothing compares to what God accomplished in his son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. There's never been a human being like that, never will ever be again.
Never.
Amen. He presented himself as a total sacrifice to God his Father.
Amen.
While satisfying him, God the Father, totally for us. He didn't do it for himself.
Amen.
He did it for you.
Amen.
And then what I'm blessed about is he gives me the privilege to go around telling people what he did.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. And, you know, I got a big mouth. So I'm anxious to tell people just what he did. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
And we rejoice in that all together.
Yes, we do.
Just the ability to tell people what the Lord has done. Amen.
All right.
And so, but we're going to learn something as we examine what Jesus did. And the thing is, what he did is so high we will not be able to attain to it entirely in our life. But the word tells us to fix our focus on him.
That's right.
The writer to the Hebrews says, fix your eyes on Jesus.
Yes.
The author and the finisher of our faith. See there, in other words, he designed it and he executed it.
Yes, he did.
He's the author and the finisher.
He
designed it and then he perfectly perfected it.
Thank you, Jesus.
It says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. See, that was a shameful thing. That was, let's say this, if it was the most spectacular event in human history ever performed by a human being, it was also the most disgraceful thing that ever happened in the history of time. Imagine that, God veiled in human flesh, comes into the world to be scandalized, spit on, ripped apart, just beaten and flogged mercilessly.
Yes.
To be talked about, ridiculed, being made the object of scorn, even found guilty and executed with capital punishment. And not only just any capital punishment, but the death of the cross.
Yes.
The worst, most scandalous kind of way you could ever die.
My Lord.
The Phoenicians invented crucifixion.
Yes.
You see, and that shows you the depths of the evil of the human mind.
That's right.
Look in the other direction. Man can be entirely evil. You know, think about that. If you saw anything anywhere near that today, you want to talk about the worst episode of child abuse in the history of time.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. This is God's son.
That's right.
Being found guilty by mere human beings and mutilated in the public. See, awful thing that went on the cross. But yet it was also the most spectacular display of power that the world has ever seen or ever will. And so what we want to learn from this lesson today, which I have titled Walking in the Armor of Light. What does it mean that the God the Son took on flesh to be marred and mutilated and just beyond recognition like that, and was able to endure that kind of pain and suffering? And that, as the old folk used to say, and it even says in the word, he never said a mumbling word.
Mm-hmm.
How could you take that?
Yes.
If you were just a mere human being, you know, I've hit myself on my thumb and have had to repent with a hammer. Not to mention getting done like that, you know.
Amen.
You know, in fact, you know, some of you, y'all know what your threshold is. You know, sometimes you have a very low threshold for pain, especially if it happens to be somebody doing it to you who you know you're wrong for what you're doing. If you did it to yourself, you can break down. You know what I'm saying? But imagine somebody else doing this to you, and you don't deserve it. But it was not a surprise. He expected it.
Mm-hmm.
He was looking for it. In fact, he said, "This is for this cause came I into the world to give my life a ransom for many." So he already knew what was going to happen. He had written it down in the scripture generations before it took place.
Yes.
And so there is a certain amount of armor that you and I can protect ourselves with if we just observe that earthly walk of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Think about Saul of Tarsus, the writer of this letter to the Romans that we're studying in chapter 13. He was one who hated the cross. He hated Christ, and he wanted to rub the church out. He knew all about the cross. But even after that, he was breathing threatenings, it says, over in the book of Acts.
Yes.
Against the church, those who were of the way. I got to rub them out and get rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
He still had hatred, just like many people do today, who don't understand what the cross was for.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I always say, if you knew how much you need that cross, if you knew how much you need what Jesus did, then you would certainly go running to the cross for mercy.
Amen.
You see, the fact is, that's the only offering that God is accepting.
The only offering.
And we're going to look at that today a little bit.
It is.
So how do we pick up some of that armor that Jesus used to remain holy through the whole ordeal that he had to endure as he was enduring such contradiction of sinners against himself, to use the words of the writer to the Hebrew? Can we apply any of that to ourselves? The answer is yes. This is the good news. You know why? Because those who trust Christ, the Bible says, when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Comforter, Jesus said, that I'm going to send from the Father who will come in my name. He is with you now, he told his disciples, but he will be in you. So the Comforter will be given to you, which is the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead. He was sent after Jesus paid the debt to dwell in each one who believes in him.
That's right. Amen.
See, so we've been equipped. God didn't expect you to walk in light by yourself.
Yes.
Because he already knows what kind of people we are.
Right.
He knew it all the time, full well, exactly who we are and what kind of struggle we have dealing with being in mortal bodies of clay.
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to talk about that a little bit today. God equips you with the Holy Spirit. So how do we maximize that and get to use that for our benefit and to do what I'm saying here? And I just gave you a phrase to attach to it, is walking in the armor of light. How do we walk in that armor that God has given us? And you know, Paul talks about put on the whole armor of God. He wrote to the Ephesians that you may be able to stand in the evil day, he said, against the wiles of the devil. You still have an adversary in the world who is working against you in the form of Satan, who is in charge of things in high places in the world. Principalities and powers, the Bible says he is the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience. You see? And so he's against you, but then we have an internal enemy known as the flesh.
Yes.
You see? The flesh wars against the spirit, he told the Galatians.
That's right.
And the spirit is against the flesh. These two are contrary one to another, that you may not do the things that you would. Mm-hmm. But he said, this I say, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
That's
amen.
Right.
Galatians 5:16. And so we have to learn how to do that. That's the reason why church is so great. It's a wonderful thing because we come here and discuss how do we do that? How do we activate getting ourselves to walk in line with the Holy Spirit of God?
Amen.
And that's what we learn when we study the Word. Now, you know how that works? God fixed it up. He said, faith comes by hearing.
Yes.
And hearing by the Word of God. See?
Yes.
And so when we sit under the Word, God is giving us faith.
Yes.
He's imparting faith into your life just by hearing His Word.
Yes.
Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And what does that do for me? That makes me anxious to get to church.
Yes.
Anxious to open up the Bible and find the answer. Anxious to hear somebody else preach a word.
Amen.
Because I know I need it.
Yes.
Now, if we evaluate ourselves properly, we're going to say, boy, you know what? I got a lot of stuff that's whacked and I really need to hear the word, because the only stuff in my life that's coming out right is the stuff God taught me.
Amen.
He's taught me how to overcome a lot of stuff already.
Yes.
But now He's also given me the ability. This armor of light is also an internal thing. It's putting light in your mind about how you are still.
Amen.
So I can't stand here and think that I'm all that in a bag of chips.
Right.
Because I'm seeing what's still going on in here.
Yes.
See? And God is opening up doors in my mind to show me places that are dark that need to be illuminated. He's illuminating inside me stuff that still needs to be changed.
Amen.
That's not Christ-like.
Yes.
And so we're going to look at this. This is what the Apostle Paul, keep in mind, he is probably one of the best examples we have in all of Scripture, because he hated the church. He went out zealously to try to destroy it. And in spite of even that, God met him. Jesus met him on the Damascus Road and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Remember when he showed up? How did he show up? In a light that was brighter than the noonday sun. You know, and he fell from his beast to the earth, the Bible says.
Right. Amen.
See? And so it was a bright light. And so all of this context of light, I want to help apply today as we study a few verses today.
Yes.
I'll try to get you into this mindset. And this will be something you can study even further on your own as you go about your everyday life this week.
Amen.
Amen. Maybe it'll give you a deeper thirst for the Scripture and for the Word.
Yes.
So just before we begin, we're going to go ahead and have a reading of the Old and the New Testament. We're going to take a look at the Old Testament Scripture from the book of Psalms. You'll see why we selected this text here in a minute. Psalms 50, the first six verses. And then we're going to read our New Testament text as we come to the concluding verses in Romans 13. Amen. That'll be from verses 8 on down to verse number 14. Amen. So take a look there. And we're going to have the deacons go ahead and read these verses for us here today. Psalm number 50, verses 1 to 6. And Romans 13, verses 8 to 14. Amen. Brother Michael, you want to read the old for us?
A Psalm of Asaph. The mighty God, even the Lord, has spoken, and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Mm-hmm. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shined. Our God shall come, and shall not keep silent. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous mm-hmm. round about him. He shall call to the heavens from above, and to the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice, and the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judged himself.
Amen.
Selah.
Amen. Amen. We have heard the Old Testament reading of the book of Psalms, number 50, 1 through 6. May God bless his anointed word. And now for the New Testament reading, Romans 13, 8 to 14. Brother Ray.
Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Mm-hmm. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Mm-hmm. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Mm-hmm. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law.
Yes, it is.
And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Mm-hmm. The night is far spent. Mm-hmm. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof.
Amen. We've heard Romans 13:8-14. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. And may God add a blessing to his anointed and holy word. And we're going to talk just briefly about walking in the armor of light.
Oh, yes.
Let us have a brief prayer. Father, we bless you. We praise you. We thank you for your holy word, Father. And we need to hear a word today, God.
Yes, we do.
We just bless you because your word always feeds our soul, Lord. It feeds our spirit. It helps us to be stronger, Lord. It is food for our soul and our minds and our hearts. And so, Father, we pray you make the soil fertile today, Lord, that the seed from your word might be planted up on good soil, that it might produce fruit to the praise of your glory, even 100-fold.
Yes.
Bless every mind, every heart, and every person that is in the sound of my voice here. Bless those who are not able to be here with us today, but had desire to be, Father, that next time they may be able to show up here, oh God, and celebrate the word with us. Right now, Father, we ask that you let your spirit have his way in the sanctuary, and we give you praise in Jesus' perfect name.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we see, getting back to the Romans text, that God says something here that's very profound. He says, owe no man anything.
Amen.
But to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law.
Amen.
Okay, so what we said from that, and what I want you to extract from that, is when God says something like that, this is a blessing, because sometimes we find it ourselves that we are in debt.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I talked about what a sticky subject that is last week, just a little bit.
Yes.
And it's a tough subject. But what it means to you and to me, if God said it, this is the way you should understand it, if you're looking at it in a Christian manner, is that God will make it possible for the ones who trust him enough to obey his word to be able to become debt-free.
Yeah.
You know, did you ever think of it that way? If God said, don't owe anybody anything, if we start walking with him, trusting him, doing it his way, guess what? You'll get out of debt. To me, that's great news.
Yes, it is.
When I think about the stuff in my life, there's a lot of stuff that I think, hey, I need to really get with this. This would be a benefit not only to me, but to the church, to all kinds of people in your life. And it means that it is possible. And this is the thing I want you to understand. A lot of times we look at the problem.
Amen.
Instead of looking at what God said.
Amen.
If God said it, then the problem is over.
Yeah.
That's the way you have to think in your mind.
Amen.
That problem is over. Why?
Yes.
Why is it over? Because God said it.
Amen.
So we got to get our perspective turned around. What we do, we look at the debt and go, oh, look at that debt.
Yeah.
And it scares us out of our socks.
Yeah.
You know, and we think about how enormous it is instead of looking at the simplicity of what God said.
Amen.
If God said, owe no man anything but to love one another, and we talked about that last week, that the only debt that we have is that is the highest law is to continue to love one another. That means I got you.
Yes.
Simply put, to put it in regular language, I got your back.
Yes.
What do you need paid off? Why don't you talk to me about it?
All right. Amen.
You know, and I'm thinking about it right now. I mean, don't think I came up here to step on your toes this morning. This is stepping on mine just as much as it is yours, because I can think of some things I owe that I wish I didn't know. You know, and I want to pay them off. Sometimes they get harder. They multiply themselves against you. And you know how that is. There's traps out here in the world set up just for that purpose, to get you trapped in a situation where you'll never be able to pay it off. So they think.
Right.
The good news is God said in his word, we got to start looking at the word, owe no man anything.
Yes.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Right. Yes.
You know, quit thinking about the debt.
Yeah. Amen.
Start thinking about the fact that your God, who owns everything, later on you'll see in that psalm, it says, in the Psalms, God says that the cattle on a thousand hills is mine.
That's right.
You know, in other words, I got everything. I don't need nothing. If I was hungry, I wouldn't ask you. He goes on to say later on in some of the psalms. Why? Because the earth is mine and the fullness thereof.
That's right.
The world and they who dwell therein. Get your perspective. Turn around. Quit looking at Goliath. Because, you know, everybody looked at Goliath and said, well, who going to beat him? Who going to deal with him? David says, that uncircumcised Philistine,
right.
He got the nerve to say something against the Most High God?
That's right.
Give me some stones. And he picked up some stones. He said, I'll knock him down. I'll take him out.
Right.
See what I'm saying?
Amen.
So you and I need to get that attitude like David. I don't care how big the obstacle is. God says he's coming down.
Yeah.
See? And so you want to arm yourself with what God said.
Yeah, that's right.
And all you need is a simple statement like that. Oh, no man, anything.
That's right.
Meditate on that. Pray on that. But to love one another. That's something you won't ever do enough. You can't do that. And the maximum experience of that, that we said, is Jesus on the cross.
Yes.
That's, you have never seen love like that. That's
Amen.
Love amplified to the nth degree.
Right.
Beyond infinity.
Yes.
Because I don't think, when I think about it, you know, how much do you love somebody that you would take? How much flack will you take from somebody?
Mm-hmm.
Especially physical abuse.
Yes.
Yep.
What about even just verbal abuse? How many of you can take verbal abuse? People talking about you, saying stuff that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything they said about Jesus was not true.
That's right.
Everything.
He was not guilty of anything.
Nothing.
But they accused him of all kinds of things. They were casting insults upon him. Even the thieves that were next to him had the audacity to chime in.
Yes.
And casting their teeth insults against him. And they putting him on the spot. If you were the Son of God, in other words, questioning whether he was or not,
right.
You would get us out of this mess.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You know, shows that you don't have the eternal mind of God. You don't understand the cost.
Yes.
You know, like I think about that song, you don't know the cost of the oil in my alabaster box, Mary said.
Yes.
You know, but you don't know the cost. What does it cost to save the souls of wretched sinners who have sinned against God?
Mm-hmm.
See, you don't know. So you're asking for something just to get out of this mess, but you got a bigger mess coming up in front of you.
That's right.
Because you got to face a holy God one day.
Amen.
And his wrath is a terrible thing. Look at this psalm here. Psalm of Asaph, the mighty God, even the Lord has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun until the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shined.
Yes.
There's that shining forth, the beautiful, glorious light of God.
Yes.
Notice verse 3. And God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him.
Yes.
And it shall be very tempestuous round
yes.
about him. When he comes, it's going to be, you think you've seen some horrible things and some manifestations. Wait till you see the coming of the glory of the Lord.
Oh, yes.
You know, and especially if you happen to be on the wrong side of God. You have not accepted his son.
Yes.
Do you see that? It says it shall be very tempestuous round about him. And he shall call to the heavens above and to the earth that he may judge his people.
Mm-hmm.
Gather my saints together. That's the holy ones, the ones who have believed,
oh, yes.
that have trusted in the name of his son. How do you know the B part of the verse? Those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
That sacrifice is his son.
Jesus.
He gave his only son to be sacrificed on the cross. If you have made a covenant with him by sacrifice, you are in that group of the saints. He says, gather together unto me those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice, and the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself, Selah. This was the song, actually. The psalmist Asaph wrote about God. So look at the glory and the splendor and the majesty of God.
Yes.
And it's that God who said to you and me, owe no man anything.
My Lord.
So I'm meditating on that. That's a good, happy thought to me.
Yes, it is.
The very idea that I could say, okay, I'm going to go to work, and when I get home, I'm not going to have to write all these checks. You know, doesn't mean you don't have like a mortgage or some deal, but it means a frivolous debt, I can get rid of it. Because God says I don't need to owe anyone anything. See, so that's where my mindset is going to be, not on how tremendous the debt is, but on how awesome God is.
Amen.
And the fact that the earth is his, the fullness thereof, the world, and they who dwell therein. So I'm going to start meditating on the other side of this equation rather than on the side that seems to be too big for me to handle.
Yes.
Kind of like David David and Goliath, as we gave you that metaphor. Now notice this, he says, for the one who have loves another has fulfilled the law. Mm-hmm. Now we know we're all deficient there in that area of loving one another.
Yes, we are.
You know, because a lot of times we draw our lines. We got to, I'll go this far with you and no further. You know, and then we even get to the point where we say, as y'all know, one of our favorite phrases, oh, you done got on my last nerve. And we keep that last nerve right here. So it's easy for you to get on it. You see what I'm saying? We don't keep it tucked down somewhere where it's hard to find. We walk around with it on our sleeve, right? You know, and that last nerve, oh, you on that last nerve already. I'm going to have to cut you loose. You see? And so we have to learn to love one another. Now notice what he says here. For this thou shalt not, he quotes what we call the first tablet, the second tablet of the law, which is the commandments that God gave Moses concerning one another, how we treat one another. Now we had a Sunday school lesson about this morning.
Yes.
Notice what it says, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill,
yes,
thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. That means don't even think about coveting or desiring something that God hasn't given you. And if there be any other commandment, it's briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. We looked at that this morning.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. Love worketh no ill. This is how you can tell.
That's right.
No ill. You don't have any ill feelings toward anyone.
None.
Toward his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law.
Yes.
And then, now this is the part we're going to tune in on this week. We had that's kind of a review from last week that overlaps verse 11. And that knowing the time, see, think about this.
Mm-hmm.
Think about how things are getting in the world.
Right.
You got people cutting off folks' heads talking about they're doing God a service.
Yeah.
Lighting them on fire and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, and they're manipulating people and they're overtaking lands, threatening to blow up a dam so they can flood thousands of people and kill them, and saying they're doing this for God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so this is the kind of time we live in, not to mention local terror and craziness that's going on right around you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of really ridiculous kinds of things going on. The law not being in the place they belong. And of course, Paul addressed that earlier in his letter, told us to follow the law as long as the law doesn't tell us to disobey God.
Amen. Amen.
And so now he's kind of winding up, knowing the time. Think about the times you live in. That is now high time to awake out of sleep. Don't sleep this, we would say. Don't let this go by you as though it was a dream or something. Don't sleep what's going on. In other words, be awake. Be aware of how things are around you.
Yes.
See that? He says, why? For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Salvation is closer. Every time the clock ticks another second, we draw closer to salvation. Now, salvation happens in three tenses. It happened in the past. God chose us in him from the foundation of the world.
Yes.
One day it happened in the present. You understood that Christ loved you.
Yes.
That God had given his son for you. He was crucified for you. He died and rose again. And then he ascended into heaven and you accepted him.
Yes. Amen.
In the presence to be your only Savior.
Amen.
And at that moment when you did, God quickened you and filled you with the Holy Spirit and you were saved. But then there's another element in the future. There's coming a time when God will wipe away all sin. It's all going to be wiped away. Every tear, he said, he'll be coming with a towel when he see you coming to wipe away every tear out of your eyes. See, won't be anything, no more dying, no more crying, for the former things have passed away. Behold, I make all things new. And that's what we read about here in that Psalm 50. God says, I'm coming back with power and great glory for all those who have trusted in the sacrifice that I have provided.
My Lord.
See that? So we look forward to that time. Don't look at the misery around you. Don't look at the mountain of debt.
Yeah.
Don't look at all the threatening stuff in your life.
Amen.
Look at the majesty of God who has promised you that you can survive, and
My
you can
Lord.
Not only survive, but you can thrive.
My Lord.
In my power, not just survive.
Yes, Lord.
I have everything you need to make your life a great success.
Everything.
And all you have to do is look toward me. Don't look toward the problems and the stuff around you that's all whacked.
That's right.
You know, because the world has been whacked ever since Adam whacked it.
Right.
If you will. If y'all don't mind me using that language. And it's going to get worse. It's not going to get better. You know, so your focus needs to be on the Lord.
That's right.
Take it off the world, take it off the misery and all the suffering and all that. Because you know what? You'll be in a perpetual state of just depression if
yes,
you do that.
That's right.
It's enough stuff to depress you every day, yeah, sitting looking at the evil, wicked stuff or twisted stuff that's in the world.
Yes.
You know, so you need to break away from that. Get your mind focused on, like Paul says, set your mind on things above.
Amen.
And not on things on the earth. Why? For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God.
Yes.
So you have a whole new allegiance.
Amen.
So learn to dwell there. If we dwell on the flesh and the world and the devil is always trying to get your mind off God, then we're not going to be happy campers.
That's right.
Okay? So he says here, your salvation is nearer than when we believe. So in order to walk in this armor of light, which he talks about in his next verse, notice what he says here, the night is far spent and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light.
Yes.
Now how do we do that? I'm not going to be able to give you an extensive course in this morning in the time we have. But I want you to know that in order to walk in the armor of light, we must be willing not only to agree with God's facts about ourselves, but also to trust that he will meet us at the point of our needs.
Yes.
As we do all diligence to serve one another in true love, as he has demonstrated in his extravagant sacrifice of his son to even make it possible for us to do so. Look what he invested in it already.
Hallelujah.
He already invested his son.
Yes.
That's history.
That's right.
Nobody can deny it. It's undeniable history. God has given his son.
Yes, he did.
And you know what? It's also undeniable history that his son got up out of the grave.
Amen.
All he had to do to stop the church was produce a corpse. It didn't happen. That's why we're still preaching. You know, we're not saving serving some dead person somewhere in a grave rotting.
That's right.
We're serving the living Christ.
That's right. Amen.
Who showed you that I have the solution to the problem of death.
My Lord.
Death was swallowed up in victory when he got up out of the grave.
Yes, it was.
See? And so focus your mind there. Look what God paid in order to make this relationship possible.
Yes.
It was extravagant.
Amen.
He lavished it up on us, it says in the book of Ephesians, when he gave his own son. He lavished his grace and his mercy upon us.
Yes, he did.
See,
yes,
to make it possible for us to have this perfect relationship with him. Do you see that?
Yeah.
And so now, how do you do it? Meditate on Christ. The writer to the Hebrews said that. Now, you've got to do this. This is something you're going to have to take time and do yourself. You're going to have to say, next time I come into a situation where I'm starting to feel down, I'm starting to feel like everything's overtaking me, and we get into our little pity party. You're going to have to think about what God did.
That's right.
And that's putting on the armor of light. Understand, Jesus went through, he suffered such contradiction of sinners against himself, the writer to the Hebrews said, and he says, you haven't striven to the shedding of blood, none of you. When did you shed your blood?
That's right.
For the church. The answer is, you didn't. You know, we haven't done that. Some of us may have been persecuted by someone because we're Christian, but it was nothing that compares to the cross. When you think about what he did, my end pales by comparison.
Yes, it does.
The thing that I have to do pales by comparison. The little thing I'm dealing with is so trivial compared to what he went through that I can easily dismiss mine. I'm not going to dismiss it, but I'm not going to be bummed about it.
All right.
Why? Because he paved the way already.
My Lord.
So, and I'm going to make it through. That's all I have to do. I'm just going to say, okay, God, talk to the Lord about it. Prayer, we love that. That's a privilege that Jesus afforded by what he did on the cross.
Amen.
So I'm going to go to him now for strength in the midst of my trials.
Yes.
Suppose it's a sickness or a report of an illness or some tragic thing that you hear about. You got to take everything to the cross.
Everything.
See, that's why the songwriter said that, and I love that song. He says, what a privilege it is, to carry everything to the Lord in prayer, and what fruitless and needless pain we bear. We go through so much stuff all because we do not carry
everything
to God in prayer. We got to tighten up our prayer life, saints.
Yes, we do, Pastor.
We have to fix our mind on what Christ did. Understand, he loves you. He's been through way more than you.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I bet you he has an answer. If you want to know, how can I put up with this boss another day? Oh, they're talking about me at the water cooler. That kind of stuff folks be going through at work. Okay. Yeah, they're talking about you. Well, put on the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's it.
And make no provision for the flesh. The flesh would say, oh, I'm going to get back at you. Or I'm going to find a way to do something to you because you did something to me. That's the way we naturally think.
Yep.
But we don't want to think that way. Notice what he says looking at verse 14. But put ye, that means all of you, on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on Christ.
Amen.
And make no provision. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. The flesh wants to do a pity pat thing. You did me, now I'm going to do you. And you didn't do this, so I'm going to do that. We got a backlash automatically built into our spirit. But you need to allow the Spirit of God to override that thing.
That's right.
And he will. If you ask him, guess what?
Yes, he will.
But you know what? James said, ask in faith.
Yes.
Don't ask and think, man, he ain't going to do it.
We waver.
You know, because now you're wavering. You're like the surfer of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. And he said, let not that man expect that he shall receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man.
That's right.
Who is unstable in all his ways. But he says, if you lack wisdom, ask me.
Yes.
And I'm right here to give it to you on the spot.
Right.
I'm an on-time God. I like that song. You may have seen that. Yeah. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. You see? So we know that. He's on time. He's going to come through. He may not come when you want him. But he's always right on time, right? Amen. So we want to practice, though. We sing it, and then we can walk right out of the church and forget all about it. You know? So we want to remember these things. Bring yourself into remembrance of the things that God has said. That's why I kind of like to make these sheets for you. So you can take this with you and in the middle of the week read that when you're going through some changes. You see? Say, I'm going to need to read this right here. You know? Tune in on the exact spot that God has given you because that's where the power comes. It's with the word. God has given us a word for everything that we're going through.
Yes, he is.
And he said if we call upon him, think about Jesus. He was the perfect example. Satan came to him while he was being tempted after 40 days and nights. And he said, well, you know, if you're the Son of God, he was coming with the same rhetoric. Make these stones be bread. You can do that. That's easy for you. Jesus said, for it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
That's right.
So we got to get like that, where we have a spontaneous word from God.
Amen.
In our mind. How are you going to do it? Meditate in his law day and night.
That's it.
That's what he told Joshua. Then you'll keep your way prosperous and you'll have good success. He told him you'll make your way prosperous and have good success. Meditate on the law of the Lord day and night. The psalmist said the same thing, right? That he says that if I meditate in the law of the Lord day and night, that I'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water to bring it forth its fruit in its season, its leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Why? Because I'm grounded in the truth.
Right.
I don't have to worry about a little slap from the devil or from the flesh. I don't have to worry about it. Yeah, you can hit me, and I might even sway in the wind, but my roots are deep down in the truth. I'm not going anywhere. I'm anchored in him. You see, my soul. And so that's where you got to get. You do that by just the renewing of your mind. Paul told us that earlier. He said to renew your mind. He said that we are going to renew our minds by meditating in the law of God.
Yes.
That we won't be tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine.
You see?
And so we want to continue with that. Putting on the armor of light is learning to apply God's word as you go through everyday circumstances. So it gives you a stability to hold on until you see God come through. And God is coming through. He promised. And he will come through. So let us set our hearts on doing God's perfect will while intentionally learning to shut down the evil deeds of our own mind toward our own flesh and our own selfish desires toward ourselves and even others, which are the devices of the world, the flesh, and the devil. See, that's how they work against you. They just wear on you. And you know, then most of the time, this is what happens. Most of the time, we have a failure or a blowout. As soon as we do, the spirit is still there, and then we feel bad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy, I shouldn't have done that. And so we want to get to where we have fewer and fewer episodes of being sorry about what we did, or I went over the line that time.
Yes.
You know, and then sometimes we're too proud to go back and clean it up. When we have made such things of that, we allow the flesh to overcome, and then we're just too proud to go back and take a long time to get up enough moxie, if you don't mind if I use that word, to say, I'm going to go back and humble myself and fix this, if it can be fixed. Sometimes we blow up good relationships and things of that sort for no purpose whatsoever.
Yep.
And if we had just waited for 5 minutes. I was looking at some crazy Family Feud, and they were talking about kids taking a time out. How long do you make, give your kids to take a time out? I'm thinking, what? What kind of philosophy is that? It used to be grandma would have had already knocked you out by the time you come on a time out. You'd be getting up off the floor. You know. What? You know, but I'm going to just apply that just because it is a little crazy. Suppose we take a time out. When you have something come to you, that's why the Bible says, be quick to hear, what, slow to speak, and slow to anger, for the anger of man worketh not the righteousness of God.
That's right.
You know, if you respond right away to everything that happens, it's not going to be good. I've said that too. A lot of times I have to check myself.
Yeah.
Somebody say something to you and the first thing come to your mind is, woo, boy, that's awful. I have to repent for the way I think sometimes. Yeah, I'm one of them who like to ride around, wish I had a machine gun on my dashboard in the car. See some of these people driving on the street, what are you doing? You know, that probably gets you right away. But you have to check yourself.
Yes, you do.
You really do. And somebody even made one, it was a fake one with a bunch of different sounds. It's got a machine gun and a cannon, and you just press it just for fun. You know, when you're traveling. I'm going to get you. You know, and you feel like that. But, I mean, you have to learn to check yourself, give yourself a time out, so to speak, just so you don't try to cross a line. You know what I mean? There can be a time when you know where it is. All of us know. You know what it takes before that inner person shows up and it's not going to be pretty. You know when it's coming. You already feel it. So we got to learn to put the brakes on that. And I would imagine, now this, I'm going to say this just as I close. I believe that Jesus probably had the same thing. The Bible says he endured all the temptations that we went through, yet without sin. So that means he had the ability when stuff was coming to him, because you know they was wrong as two left shoes. They came to him. Good master, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar? He's probably thinking, You know, I have a few thoughts for you turkey. That's what I'm thinking. But he probably didn't go that far. He checked it before it even got to the point of wanting to call somebody a turkey or whatever. You see what I'm saying? And he said, whose face is that on there? He went immediately to the answer, and they handed him a penny. He said, who is that on there? Well, that's Caesar. He said, oh, okay, then we'll render to Caesar the things of the Caesars, and then the God the things of the gods, and their mouth was shut.
That's right.
Because he gave a good answer. See that? So if we learn to think, what is it that glorifies God in this situation every time when I have a situation? We could probably do a whole series talking about this. But learn to practice shutting down your initial reaction. If you can do that, give yourself a timeout, if you will. Shut that initial reaction down. Think, what would glorify God?
That's right. Amen.
Always give that choice in your mind. What would glorify God? What would cause me to be armored with the light of Christ?
Yes.
You know, and people will probably quit bothering you eventually if they find out they can't get you going.
Right, right.
You know, but some people are going to try to get you going. That's what they live for. Oh, I got to go see Kelsey is in there. Let me see what can I get her to do today. You know, and they're looking for the buttons to push.
Right.
And so you don't have to let them do it. You can have perseverance if you trust God. He said, give me a try. Prove me in these things, you see. God says, I want to be there in the midst of all that you're dealing with in your life.
Yes.
Amen. So we hope that you learn to walk in the armor of light. We can talk more about this. We probably will at the midweek Bible study. Amen. So we hope you got a good word here this morning. If there's anybody here who would like to become a member of the St. Timothy MB Church, we still have room. I think if all our members who actually belong to us showed up one day, we wouldn't have place to seat everybody. Because a lot of people look like we have shifts. We come in shifts. And that's common. I guess everybody does that, it looks like, for the most part. But if everyone that all actually belong here that on the roll showed up, our seats would be filled. That's why we're making preparations to expand the building. Or find another building or do something. We'll be doing something so we can accommodate everyone who wants to be a member.
Yes.
Amen. So we want to give you that opportunity at this time if you're here, and especially if you happen not to be saved and you want to be saved, you can come at this time, and we will let you know that everything you need as far as baptism, if you have not been baptized, we accept you for that. Or for just a membership, if you want to be a member, come right now at this time. This is the time that we want to accept you as a member of the St. Timothy MB Church for any reason, whether you come for salvation or for membership. or Christian experience. We'll ask you to come at this time. Amen. Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen. God has spoken. Let the church say amen. Church say amen. Go ahead and come, whoever you are, from wherever you are. We're ready to receive you at this time. Don't be ashamed. Come right on up. Amen. 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 You see that there are none, but yet there is room. We thank God for your attention today, and we hope you'll challenge yourself through the week, as you go through the week, to work with that thing, because it's something you have to do. It's a private individual project that you have to take up yourself. And then think about it. I think this is going to, the Spirit of God is going to remind you this week about what you heard today. And as soon as you have that situation, it may not even be late this week. It could be as soon as you set foot on the pavement. You never know how things happen. I know I get tested all the time. I teach messages, and then it's like, boy, here it is, you know. And I get checked and tested myself. God will test me, you know. So he probably does that to you as well.
Yes.
Amen. So when it does, just think about it. Think about, what should I do? How can I employ listening for the Holy Spirit? I want to stop and listen first. That's why he said, be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Because your anger is not going to produce the righteousness of God. But if you listen, the Spirit of God will lead you. And that's how he leads. He leads you. You'll get a scripture will pop in your mind at that time, or something like that. And sometimes, as our parents used to put it this way, if you don't have anything good to say, Peter, everybody knows that. I didn't have to finish it. So sometimes it's good just shut up, don't say anything. And what you're going to say is going to be something not good. Shut it down, because it's not going to help. But if the Spirit says, say this, and gives you something to say, and you want to cultivate that relationship,
yes,
it's a good thing to cultivate that relationship, because God is blessed when we do the right thing.
Amen.
Amen. Having said that, we see that there are none, but yet there is room. Amen. And we thank God for each and every one of you. Once again, I want to give a special thanks out to, and welcome back to those who have been out a while. We bless God. Good. Always great to see you all.
Yes.
Come as often as you can.
Amen.
And I know a lot of times people want to come and just not aren't able. I understand that too.
Right.
And so, but just come as often as you can. God loves you. We love you. We like to see you here in the sanctuary. It's always a blessing, all of you, when you come. Amen. And bring a neighbor, or send somebody. I know one time, let's see, who was it? We had Minister Cecil came in, and my cousin Ricky, he said he sent him in. He wasn't able to be here that week, but he sent a minister in. That was great to have him come in and visit, and we thank God for him having been here. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
So send somebody, even if you can't make it yourself. Send somebody else. That's all right.
Yes.
All right, because we're trying to feed the multitude, as many as we can. Amen. So we hope that everything was a blessing for you today. Were there any questions or anything? I used to do this all the time when time allows. And if there are any questions about anything, you may ask Brother Perry. Mm-hmm.
Well, you all know I'm on dialysis. And tomorrow morning at 5 o'clock, they're supposed to take it out of my shoulder and put it in my arm.
Mm.
So I just want to tell y'all to pray for me.
Amen. Amen.
During that time.
Amen.
And I thank you for all of your prayers.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. We'll remember that. Y'all make a note. And remember, we'll be in prayer for Deacon Perry.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We thank God for that. Also, we'd like to ask that you pray for our daughter Chelsea, is on the train right now, heading back to Kansas City. I don't know how long that trip is, but we'll pray, ask you to pray for traveling mercies for her. Amen. And our son, one of our sons, is having some issues with transportation. Pray for him. Put him on your prayer list.
Amen.
We're trying to let him deal with it, and he could use some prayer also. Amen. Just for transportation. See, God wants to be involved in every little thing that's going on in your life. Amen. Sometimes we think, oh, this is too small to ask God. No, God wants to be involved in everything you're dealing with. Amen. So ask him, and he says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. Amen. But whoever asks receives. To him who seeks, he finds. And to him who knocks, it is open.
Yes.
Amen. So God said do that. So we ought to do that. Put him to the test.
Amen.
Amen. And he'll see if he won't show up.
Yes.
And of course, faith is the factor, being faith.
Yes, it is.
Amen. Brother
and,
Michael.
Everybody keep Minister Ivy also in prayers. They are giving him 2 months to live.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right.
Keep him and his wife and family.
Okay, that's something else. Just to refresh your memory, next week, I guess it'll be, we'll have another Sunday before then, though. We're supposed to be over at the New Prospect, and that'll be on next Sunday. And of course, before that, he is the Sister to Sister and Iron Man Fellowship here on Saturday, which is Valentine's Day. We'll be in early and be out for all of you Cupids and different folks who want to go receive the arrows of Cupid. Just kidding. I'm kidding. But yeah, come on in. You'll get a fresh blessing to take you through. Amen. And there'll still be time for chocolates and all those good things later on in the day. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Anything else? If all minds are clear, okay, we'll stand and receive the benediction. Amen. Lord God, we praise you and we bless you. We thank you for the clarity of your word, Father.
Thank you.
That is very clear. It speaks to our souls, Lord. And we ask that you help us to do it.
Please.
Not just to know it, Father, but to keep it in the forefront of our minds as we go out into the world, Lord, and even deal with our family and even especially the members of the church, Father. Sometimes we're indifferent toward one another.
Yes.
But help us, oh God, to be the kind of men and
Please,
women you
Father.
Have called for us to be. We know that we are able to do it by the power of your Spirit.
Yes.
And so, Father, we invite you into our lives to do whatever work needs to be done to get us up to speed. Father, we'll bless you and give you all the honor and the praise. Bless us as we go down from this place and travel to our various destinations.
Thank you, Lord.
Let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our Lord, our strength, and our Redeemer. We ask it in the matchless name of your Son, Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
To him be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forevermore. And all the saints say it together.
Amen.
Reach out and touch some.